When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
What was that, like, icing bros?
Yeah.
And then, like, flash forward 5 years later and these people are in the Capitol. Those are the same bros. That's the problem, is they weren't icing each other this whole time. If we'd given them icing to do, then they wouldn't be creating domestic terrorism. That's just my humble opinion.
Yeah. Look, those guys... and gals. There were some pretty cool gals there also.
Yeah, strong female role models like Miss Piano. By the way, do I have to throw my piano key scarf away now?
Yeah, you do. Because of Elizabeth. Because of Elizabeth from Knoxville.
Yes, she ruined the jazziest accessory west of the fedora hat. I was furious.
It's basically a MAGA hat at this point, Julia.
I'm so upset about this.
Yeah.
Everything else I'm oddly fine with.
It is. A piano scarf is now the new MAGA hat.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Dubbleclad.
Welcome. Double Threat.
Welcome to the show. Happy New Year. Welcome to Double Threat.
My name's Tom.
My name's Julie. I'm going to do a Mars Attacks alien now.
Yeah. Boy, it was a week for that business. Yeah. So, welcome to Double Threat.
Look, I saw photos of both of you at the Capitol. You guys had your funny Viking helmets on.
Mm-hmm.
You were dancing to Macho Man and Gloria.
We were laughing.
I said, I'm glad they're having fun. I said, I'm glad, just good, clean fun. I'm sure they'll be.
Yeah. And I was just like, Brett, stay between the ropes. We're walking through the Hall of Statues or whatever that room was. And Brett was like, maybe we could walk closer to a statue. I was like, no. Let's stay between the ropes. Still the most fascinating image from the whole thing. These untethered lunatics still respecting a velvet rope.
That's like that thing where you put masking tape in a square around a cat and the cat won't leave that square. Have you ever seen that? It's like the same thing.
Yeah. Now that was a fun day and I'm glad we got that on the books.
It's all behind us. I think we're all good
now.
Well,
speaking of out of touch lunatics, I mentioned this on the show at the beginning of last week, but you guys got blocked by Alec Baldwin, I heard.
This is not a fair transition to Mr. Baldwin. I'm going to be the good cop. All cops are bastards, but I'm going to be the good bastard here because I don't think Alec Baldwin is as bad as Trump. Okay, I want to go on the record. I watched the Fran Lebowitz show came out yesterday. She's my all-time fave, and he's on there interviewing her. And I have obviously big issues with Alec Baldwin. His issues with me are bigger because he blocked me, and then he blocked my best friend Tom.
Yeah,
but I kind of still want him to like me. Like, I'm kind of bummed that he blocked me. Is that weird? Is that like Stockholm syndrome? Yes, Brett is nodding.
Brett, look, this is the thing. We realized about 2 weeks ago that we were both blocked by Alec Baldwin.
And this was around the time of I guess it was like a day or two after the Hilaria Baldwin conversation, erupted around Christmas. And I I made like a very, very tame, hilarious, not even joke, but reference on Twitter. I said, I want to see the lip sync to her crazy, like non-apology. Mm-hmm. And then I realized people were retweeting Alec Baldwin and I couldn't see it. And that's when I realized I was blocked. So I assumed that it was Hilaria related. But then
I realized I was blocked and I didn't say nothing about nothing with that. I was the Hilaria thing vaguely eluded me. And I was just like, whatever. I truly did not care. And then you turn around and I'm blocked. And
we don't know when he blocked us, but
we don't know when, we don't know why, we do know how.
I think we know why.
No, we don't know exactly why.
Have an idea. I think we do know exactly why. I think the question is how he found out about us devoting, I think, our like top rated episode of the last year.
Yeah. And to any new listeners joining us, that was an episode we did last year called On a Zoom Call with Woody Allen, where Tom and Julie looked at an episode of Alec Baldwin's podcast with Woody Allen. And we later found out via the foreword that that episode that Alec Baldwin did, plus our episode that we did, contributed in some way to Alec Baldwin and his podcast getting kicked off WNYC and having to find a new home over on iHeartRadio.
He might have read a thing, that article at the end of it. It's just like, and these two did a whole episode about the thing. I think that's probably what made him block us. But
It still involved a little bit of searching on his part, because I don't think anyone mentioned us and mentioned him. But maybe I'm wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone was like, hey, Alec Baldwin, like these two guys are pointing out, by the way, pointing out objectively that you thanked Woody Allen at the end of your interview with him for, quote unquote, making life worth living after refusing to ask him any questions about molesting his daughter.
Yeah, to me, what this did is it opened up a sea of emotions, and I realize there's so many unanswered questions, and I'm a little lost. I have to admit, the Alec Baldwin forsaking me has now left me quite a little adrift.
And you're not used to being blocked. Are you blocked by any other celebrities, Tom? Is this your first?
It's first. I'm sure there's somebody, but I don't know. I usually I think Gary Shandling blocked me, but
I think that's how he died. Actually, I think that's how he died. You don't block.
Look, I can't.
You come for the king. You best not miss.
Yeah, I know. He. I think it was maybe him.
You block me in a dream. You better wake up and apologize.
Yeah, that's what I tweeted. Brett, can you tweet that right now from your account?
Yeah. So
you blocked me in a dream. You better apologize.
Sure. I make that my bio, actually, because I was writing my bio okay, right now.
So maybe Brett, that's a good
bio. Tell us what you're doing, Brad.
Yeah. So today we're going to have a chance to get to the bottom of some of these questions around Alec Baldwin. We have some great guests joining us that have also been blocked by Alec Baldwin. Also, the very funny Andy Kindler will be joining us to go down this path with us. What I'm going to be doing this show is I created a Twitter account for myself. I never had a Twitter account before. And
you're going to love it. You're going to love it. You're just in time, pal. It's only just begun.
Well, I was waiting for the president to leave before I joined. So this is
It's like a one in. Yeah. It's like a one out, one in kind of thing.
God never closes a door without opening a window.
Yeah, it's like
like when you go to the grocery store now and they're just like, all right, two people left. All right. Two people can go in. Mm-hmm. That's how Twitter is. Mm-hmm. So you just started a Twitter account.
Yeah, so let me share this with you now. I'm working on this bio.
You block me in a dream. You better wake up and apologize. And then put that in quotes and then do hyphen reservoir hounds.
Reservoir hounds. I thought with Brett it should be reservoir cats.
Yeah, reservoir cats.
I think
that's
if
good.
He says reservoir hounds, it's funnier because it seems like he's making a mistake.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like he remembers the movie being called that.
Yeah.
Oh. As opposed to Reservoir Cats, he'd think that, like, oh, I'm like, that's my funny take on it. Like, this, sure. I think he seems like a genuinely demented.
Yeah, no, I get it. I follow.
Okay.
Can I get like a first tweet here, just so this is not exclusively an Alec Baldwin, you know, centric account?
Oh, I know what it should be, but not before. Okay. Wonder what Jerry from T-Public is thinking, RN.
Yeah.
Wait, who's that? Who's that picture of?
Oh, this is John Kassir, the voice actor for the Crypt Keeper.
Wait, who is that?
This is John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper, who refused to come on the show.
Who stole $25 from you?
Yeah, I had to pay to communicate with him on Cameo, the only way I could get in touch with him, and it was still a no to my booking request.
I love that Brett went in pocket to basically get to have a conversation with this guy.
Well, you know what? You say in pocket. I noticed our checks over the holidays were minus $12.50 each. So I don't think he punished us for John Kassir not answering his correspondence on Cameo.
Yeah.
And Double Threat listeners, I am at Brett. That's Breyyyatt.
Polly Perrette blocked me a long time ago. I'm trying to think of other celebrities that have blocked me.
Hmm.
You know, I have video footage of that. I showed it to you, Tom.
Yeah.
Brett, you know why Polly Perrette blocked me, right?
I don't. I would love to find out, though.
I did like red carpet for this silly little event that Vulture sent me to called the Golden Collar Awards, which is like an award show for dogs in film and television. And I was on the red carpet and like asking silly questions and was like, you know, Triumph was there and like the French Bulldog from Modern Family and... the artist came out that year, so that little terrier Uggy was there, and she was on the red carpet and she was taking it really seriously, and I asked her a couple silly questions and she did not think they were funny, and so she complained about me to the publicist of the event, who came over and told me that I needed to stop asking questions or I would be kicked out. So she complained.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so she told this publicist. So this publicist came over and she goes, I heard you've been asking really inappropriate questions. And the questions that I do have video of this, but I asked her, I just like asked her something silly. And she was like, what? And I go, are you drunk? And she got really like offended and upset. And then I asked her, if you see any dogs tonight that you like, are you going to sneak any of them home in your dress? And she got very like confused. So when this publicist came over, she was like, we heard that you're asking inappropriate questions, like, are you drunk and are you going to be stealing dogs home by smuggling them in your dress? And I was like, there's only one person I asked those two questions to.
Yeah.
And she did not get the joke. So she found the publicist and was like, she tried to get me kicked out of a dog award show is the headline. So, yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't know who she was going into that event. And now I do.
And then she searched you out on Twitter to block you? Or was there like...
Well, I talked about it a lot.
Got it.
I think after it happened, I really like... I kind of could not get over it. And so... Because after that, then I did find out who she was. And her Twitter is insane. She's an insane person. She tweets the craziest stuff. At one point, she tweeted a drawing of a little boy with the number 666 on his head. And she said, I saw this boy in a dream. And... She's a true maniac, and I'll never forget how we met. So she's one celebrity I'm blocked by.
That's a good one. I will say on a side note, it was very unfortunate to see Uggy at the Capitol running around. I was really saddened to see Uggy, the dog from The Artist.
And I didn't like, it was just like, world's oldest dog. And it's like, that's Uggy. Give some, you know, show some respect. If it were Jack Lemmon, you'd say it was Jack Lemmon.
When Uggy lifted his little leg and peed on the Tip O'Neill painting.
You were disappointed.
I really felt like America really took it on the chin that day.
Well, you were a fan. I know you were a fan.
No, Uggie, no. Brett, I would like to ask you.
Yes.
We had a show a couple weeks ago where you sent Jerry, your pal over at TeePublic.
Our favorite guest and your favorite friend.
And your big buddy. You sent him an email and we dictated it and you sent it and were not allowed to tell Jerry anything was up with it with that until the episode aired. And we had initially said during the episode, no response from Jerry, no response from Jerry. And then it was like, we will not know what happens until the next show.
And then we took 2 weeks off and I needed the structure. And don't worry, I've self-medicated. But now we're back.
Yes. So to confirm, I never followed up with him to tell him it was a joke. It was an email in which I said that I had lost, I think, eight somewhere in the vicinity of $18,000 betting on a preseason Orlando Magic game. And over the holidays, Jerry did respond to my email. I got a response from Jerry.
Uh-huh.
And I'll put that up on the screen now.
Okay.
Before he aired the episode?
This was before the episode aired. So he did not know. He had no.
By the way,
so this is a.
I forgot.
This is Jerry. Jerry, think.
I forgot that we made him start it with boo. Don't be scared, Jerry. It's just me.
Yeah, you know how scared you get when somebody emails you boo. So this email, this reply. This just makes me so uncomfortable that this exists. This is so skin crawling.
I love
poor Jerry from TeePublic.
I'm not reading his response until Brett reads it to us.
I can't even look at it. I looked at one word on it and I got the heebie-jeebies.
What word was it?
Hey, Brett. This is literally all it took. That poor Jerry from TeePublic had to like write a legit reply to this.
And also that it's like that thing between guys. It's like, hey, man, as opposed to hello, gorgeous or hi or whatever else men don't say to each other. If they don't want to be weird, like boo or.
Yeah. I feel like boo was a nice little statement.
Thought it was fun. All right, Brett.
So really quickly to catch us up here. So my initial email was boo was the subject heading. And then I said, don't be scared, Jerry. It's just me. Happy, merry, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Just lost my effing shirt, no pun intended, on an Orlando Magic preseason game. Down 18 grand and the effing season hasn't even started yet. So how's your weekend going? Signing off, BB Gun. And then sometime later.
How long? Is it a week?
No, it was actually only a couple days.
It felt like a longer time.
But what that means, those couple days, you're saying, oh, it was only a couple days. Jerry stared at that email from you for a couple days, not sure how to proceed. So you're just like, it was a couple days. For Jerry, that was hour upon hour of anguish wondering how he was going to navigate this guy who he doesn't know that well is talking to him about losing money. And I also like that now it's in the air that people that know Brett, if they get a weird email from him or a weird correspondence, it very well might have come from us. And now they just I wonder if anybody's going to see like, oh, Brett, like if Brett has to like write somebody like a harsh email and then they're like, oh, okay, that was Julie and Tom. I get impressed. Like, no, that's me.
He has to like fire someone.
Yeah.
He's like, sorry,
I'm not fired.
You're shot.
I know I'm not very funny. Haha. So what did Jerry say back?
All right, so this is Jerry's response. And by the
way, I just want to say one more thing. 2 days may not seem like a lot, but that's two. I'll sleep on it.
Oh, absolutely.
That's two, like, maybe I'll know what to do in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hey, Brett. Sorry for the delay in reply.
Sorry for the delay in reply. I was talking to my attorney about your email and figuring out the best legal recourse.
And changing my identity and address. Yeah.
Hope you're having a merry blah blah too. Though I imagine it's off to a rough start with that magic action.
That's
I totally didn't realize the Bobcats changed their name back to the Hornets. Got a feeling I'm about to get rinsed in my NBA fantasy draft. LOL. My weekend's going pretty well, just hanging out with the missus and the kid and watching football. Also, congrats on Double Threat making the list on Vulture. Well deserved. I was amped to see that, though it must be said that I did find it odd the review left out the quick-witted merch guy with his rollicking tail, but so it goes. Best, Jerry.
Well, that is a class act in...
He's a sweetheart and a class act.
I don't like this at all. We're going to have to amp up the weirdness.
That is somebody.
This is just a challenge I wasn't anticipating.
He rolled with it. I mean.
No, I know. That's why I'm disappointed. Props to Jerry here. That's why I'm disappointed. That means that we're going to have to make you be a lot weirder.
Yeah. Well, maybe we bring our guest in now esteemed.
Maybe he'll esteemed, have some ideas on how to make you more alienating to an easygoing sort.
Oh my goodness! Can you see? Can you believe it? As I live and breathe,
as I live and respire, my father would say, "As I live and respire."
And now I want to say this.
Oh, what am I muted?
No, we can hear you.
Who am I?
Oh, I hear you.
What am I muted? The new stand up on Zoom thing to say, yeah, instead of exactly. Is this on?
Who died and made this guy? Who died and made Jim Belushi a
moderator?
Come on, let's open with that.
Jim Belushi is now a marijuana magnate.
I know. I kind of like that part.
I thought he was a marijuana magnet.
No, no. Andy is a marijuana magnet.
Jim Belushi is
a marijuana magnet.
Just walk down the street and all this green stuff blows onto you and sticks to your...
I live in California. I smoke so much pot, guys. I know nobody here does.
No, you look. This guy is doing better than ever, and 2020 was a banner year for Andy Kindler.
Yes. I have one family member left. Okay, now.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, what did the banner say?
Help.
What did the banner say? Good game.
The banner
good
said
game.
Help.
A lot of I realize now it's a lot less hectic with less family members.
Oh no!
Come on, we're not going to talk about this on the show. Don't worry about it.
No, a lot of Kindlers died at the Capitol. A lot of Kindlers died. Well, at the in the Capitol steps, they were all members of that group.
Yeah. Don't say Capitol steps, Julie.
Come on!
Say Capitol steps, he's going to break into song.
Mr. Bush, what's your problem, Mr. Bush?
Mr. Bush. Well, I got some news for you, Andy.
What?
You might want to update those songs a little bit. Mr. Bush.
George W. Bush.
How about this? Way down upon the Mitch McConnell.
Okay. I'll have to cut back on that.
No, don't you dare.
What does this mean? Click if you want to switch to a different mic. I don't want to switch.
Brett, Andy needs help.
Oh, no. I want this one. I want my
USB. The USB should sound bad. Why buy a Shure SM57 if you're not going to use it? There
we go. And you know what I love also? Andy can't help but hold a mic that's in a stand because he's a stand-up. And in his mind, how do you hold? Let's see your mic hold. That's a you on stage.
That's his axe. He's got his
now
axe.
Show me.
Well, here's what you do. You if I'm going to gesture to the right side of the room, I hold the mic on the left side. See?
Okay.
See? Now these people are included over here.
Gotcha. Okay. So the hand does the sweeping welcome gesture.
These are the frets. and these are the strings.
Now show me Todd Barry. How's Todd Barry
see,
holding?
Todd Barry's like this,
two-hander.
Right?
Todd.
It's like he's holding a cup of coffee, Todd's and it's like cold outside.
I'm Todd Barry. That's not a good impression. I'm not a good impressionist, Julie.
What was your Monet joke? I listened to your album, Andy. Did you see that I did that Spotify thing about like what did you listen to this year?
Oh no, I did. I met someone.
It was this app, this dumb like thing where it's like the Spotify bot that tells you like, oh, you think you're so cool, you listen to what did mine say?
Oh yeah, that thing.
And mine said, oh yeah, he said, oh wow, Andy Kindler and Stu, your taste is so obscure. That's so cool. I bet you're super interesting. Because I listened to your stand-up album this year.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm very proud of it, my stand-up
album. And you had a very funny joke about you like impressions. What was it, like Claude Monet?
Oh, it was like, before Monet would start to paint, he would yell out to no one in particular, do you people like impressionism? And then if he didn't get a good enough reaction, he would paint more realistically. That's now, the part I like, the inside comedy part.
Now, yes. Andy, who is your favorite of the rioters on Wednesday? Which one broke out?
I know you have your trading cards. Like, which of your baseball cards are you not going to part with?
Well, I like the first guy who was in Pelosi's office because I thought he was pointing towards his crotch. And I thought that was the ultimate. Yeah, I'm in your goddamn office now. But he wasn't pointing to his crotch. So I'd have to go with the guy who ran through, like with a beard. Mm-hmm. USA.
And I also just saw, and this is pretty sad, Trump just got booted from Spotify. Spotify has been, it's like, what are they kicking? What they, he can't put a playlist together? You know
it's
what I
just,
mean?
It's just Macho Man over and over again.
I love when these companies take the courageous stand. Spotify finally stepping up, saying like, you, sir, have no role, no place on our music streaming service where you cannot put together a kick-ass summer playlist.
Stay away from Periscope with that nonsense. That's the only thing I could think of was Periscope.
Is Periscope still a thing? Is that still around? Is it?
I don't know, but I listened to your show and I realized I know so little. It's like my mom would say she knows less people in People magazine every week, she used to say. And that's what I'm finding. You guys have a lot of up-to-the-minute material.
Now, AndyKindler.com.
Look how cute everyone
looks. Andy Kindler.
Yeah.
It's at Andy Kindler. And this is the guy, for people who don't know, and I can't believe anybody wouldn't even know who this, everybody knows who this guy is. But this is a guy. He's got a hit album, came out last year. Everybody loved. Hence the humor.
Hence the humor.
Hence
the humor.
Home Leo run. Allen. Leo Allen named that. Leo Allen.
He's like the sweetest guy, and he's funny, and he's handsome. You're like, what's the catch? And then there is none. So you kill
there
yourself.
Is no catch.
So you kill
I'm
yourself.
I'm not handsome
so
like
you
him.
So you throw
I'm...
yourself off a cliff. He's like tall, and there's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with him. It's very frustrating.
No, he is actually, he's a mensch.
Yeah, he's a mensch.
And I says about Andy Kindler, he's the comics comic. He's the comics comic.
Right.
Which means
exactly
that everybody who makes the funny stuff.
Superman, says, Batman.
This guy's top of the pyramid.
Yeah, people go to me when they're tired of laughing. You know what I mean?
We need a break.
Yeah, they like when I get inside. They like to get inside baseball. For a couple of years, I was actually doing inside baseball material. Mm-hmm. But no one
like
liked it.
Inside of a baseball? What is that, cork mostly?
Oh, easy Whitey Ford. Easy Whitey Ford.
This guy smokes enough of that sticky icky. He thinks he's inside a baseball.
Okay, Jim Boughton. Good.
Yeah, ball five.
Ball four, more like ball five. I would, if I could live on that kind of comedy, which I think I have.
I think you do. Uh-huh. If you call it living.
If you just... I remember the first time I saw you do a full show, not just like a set. The first time I saw you headline, it was the most revelatory thing I had ever seen, where I was just like, this guy's two thirds of the way through his show right now, and he's still talking about how the show's going to start at a point. Like this, is the show.
It's the best.
It's mind blowing. The first time I saw that, I was like, this guy is a master.
It's inspiring to us, Andy, or at least to me, or at least subconsciously, because I think Tom and I think some of our best shows are when we don't get to the topic until, a while in, because we're having a good time. And I'm very, very, influenced by just the pleasure of watching you, like the way a dog circles before he goes to bed. Sometimes you just want to watch the dog circle. How about that?
Oh, you guys are going to, I'm going to bomb now on this show because I'm going to think about, but you are the inspiration. Let me tell you, you don't hear about the children's hospitals and the benefits.
Where's this going?
Ms. Julie Klausner does. And Tom Sharpley won't talk about it. This is what Jerry Lewis used to do on the telethons all the time.
By the way, the benefit.
Frank won't tell you. They won't tell you.
The benefit you're thinking of is me auditioning for the show Children's Hospital and not getting a callback.
Yeah. That was.
But you've never said, he called me up for benefit. I want to know two things, when and where. That's the way they used to talk in the old
days. Why and why not? How much money?
I love that brand of show business when it's all this like weird, aggressive, to the point, tough
it's like
talk.
It's almost like you're threatening to come down to the homeless shelter.
And they also thought they were incredibly smart, all of those people. Like, they thought they were incredibly smart and hip every time they would say, like, I watch these interviews. Well, I was watching a fair amount of Jerry Lewis interviews.
The meanest man of all time.
Yeah. He just is so bizarrely needy and dismissive of everyone. Like, he hates that he needs people. It's like his curse is that you people give me the thing I need and I hate all of you
for it. Yeah. Did you ever meet or work with Jerry Lewis, Mr. Kindler?
No, but I have a comic friend. His name was Bill Fox. I never met Jerry Lewis, but he was working with Jerry Lewis on something and he was in some commissary and he happened to mention my name and Jerry Lewis didn't know who I was, but just kept going, "You met Eddie Kindler? Eddie Kindler? Are you telling me you met Eddie Kindler?" And I wish I had been there. It was recorded.
I heard a story, and this is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life, is that a kid was working for Jerry Lewis as an intern in his office. And, the end of his internship was happening. Do you know the story, Andy?
I have a faint memory of this, so I'm already prepared for it.
Then somebody says, like, Jerry wants to, it's your last day here. Jerry wants to say goodbye. And so the kid goes in the office and Jerry is behind his desk. That power move when you have your back, when you're behind your desk, but you're turned around. So they're looking at the back of your chair and the back of your head. And he says, "I heard it's your last day. I got you a little something." And then there was an envelope on the desk and the kid opens it. And inside the envelope is a check for $5 million.
Oh,
which is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Oh my God. The horror of it, the disappointment, the joy.
Well, just
great. Cash it.
Creating the weirdest moment ever is the, I mean, and if that actually happened, I have to say, Jerry Lewis, that puts you way up the list in terms of creating a truly strange, surreal moment. That's like an all-timer.
So Andy, we're thrilled to be talking about how Alec Baldwin blocked both of us and we don't know when. We have an idea as to why, but we're not certain and we're commiserating. And my question to you is, what do you think of that? And also, have you been blocked by Alec Baldwin or anyone else?
Yes, because you're a bit of a live wire on social media, Andy. You've been known to tussle with a person here and there. I'll often open up Twitter and see suddenly you go,
uh-oh.
Andy's at it.
Oh,
Andy's
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, less now since the therapy. 4 years of therapy. I got into therapy at age 59. Can you believe that?
Well, and you haven't gotten to the Bill Maher stage of...
What was his stage?
No. The stage where you're not as angry about Bill Maher being a piece of shit.
Oh, that
part of therapy. I think that's year 7, 8, 9, whatever it is. Who's blocked you, Andy?
Oh, William Shatner blocked me.
What did you do to poor William Shatner?
That's amazing.
Well, millions of people have blocked me, but the William Shatner one was really fun.
Millions of people have blocked me.
No. Well,
that's the greatest.
Put that in your
statement.
Bio right now, please.
Well, like, here's what I'll do. I'll go, Geraldo Rivera, you piece of garbage, Geraldo. Mm-hmm. You stupid piece of right. You like Nazis for a living, don't you? I mean, it's clever stuff like that. And then I go back. All of a sudden, Geraldo Rivera has blocked me. Geraldo, I'm talking to you. Huh? Uh-huh. You stupid right wing boot licking sycophant. Boom. Mm-hmm. That quick. But William Shatner was better because William Shatner. He's talking about, my daughter will be putting on one of her horse shows. And anybody would like to volunteer to work for my daughter and her horse shows. So all I said was, what does it pay? That's all I said. And he blocked me. I dare you talk about my daughter. He's a little hothead.
He blocked you because you wanted to know how much his daughter was going to pay people to
watch her suck off a horse.
Up after the horses.
I thought the joke was on me. The joke was on me. He says charity. I say how much. That's hilarious.
Did you explain that to him after you'd been blocked from a ghost account, from a burner account?
No, this was a time period when I would be arguing with other. I would be so upset about it. I'd be arguing with someone else who was defending. William Shatner. Oh, you're defending him because he's a celebrity? I mean, it was that. I'm much better now, but
true or false? Because we have another guest we have to bring on. But true or false?
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't. How dare you? How dare you apologize? How dare you apologize? How dare you bring?
That's your fault. You bring me in early on a late day.
I think I remember this properly, but I'm not sure. But I remember. I think you told me that after Joe Paterno died, you got a call from your mother the next day, and you picked up the phone, and she said. She said things are getting worse for Joe.
Yeah, things are getting worse for Joe Paterno. He's dead, Mom. What do you think they're going to go yell in his grave? You should have spoke up sooner. Things are looking worse for Paterno.
That's the best eulogy I've ever heard. Whenever someone dies, to be like, things are looking worse.
After John Lennon died, my favorite thing was when my mother asked my sister a few months later if. Is Andy okay about Harry Chapin? Because Harry Chapin died. So she just thought anytime anybody was a celebrity would die, I'd be equally upset.
Brett, do we have our first guest, our second guest, I should say.
Yeah, we've got another guest about to join us. Before we do that, Andy, I was going to ask, since you're an expert at getting blocked, I'm trying to get blocked by Alec Baldwin during this recording.
Brett just started this Twitter. Sorry,
this
I started
this good.
Twitter account. I wonder maybe Andy or Tom and Julie, if you guys could give me a first tweet to send over to Alec, see if I can get the blocked.
I would say let's start with yo at Alec Baldwin. Like, let's make it you need to have it sound rude also. Like, let's just add like a familiarity will irk him right off the bat that you're just too comfortable with him.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to go
friendly,
full on?
I think first friendly at first though, right?
Yeah. Yo, Alec Baldwin, what's the haps?
First time, long time. And I'm just kidding. You don't.
First time,
yeah,
long
no, that's
time.
Good.
What if he starts with a slightly strange, but could be legitimate question to like that's the first one to dip your toe in the water. Something that we'll see like how sensitive he's going to be to somebody. How about when you do those Mission Impossible movies? Like something about like.
How long does it take for you to recover afterwards? Or
yeah, well, what about like what's the you want to ask about like the food on the sets or something? Like something.
When you do those Mission Impossible, well, I don't want to make it seem like he's making fun of him for being like fat.
No. Well, how about you ask how much he gets? How much do you get paid? Or some like root question, like talk about money. How much $$$$? Does
if you punch someone out, do they deduct that?
We're gonna get to the punch. We're
I know. I'm sorry. I'm good with the punchlines.
Oh no, you're good. You're good with literal.
I would say let's just open with what's your favorite thing about doing those Mission Impossible movies?
Yeah.
Oh God. What if a terrible question.
What if he becomes friends with them? What if he answers them and then Brett's
I'm open to anything happening.
I like Brett's this that I'm approaching it as a fan. Like I'm yeah. getting into this as a fan.
Oh, you're trying to. This is a trap. This is a prank.
It's a honey trap.
You're going to start out nice.
Yeah, we're going to work our way into it.
Not even go anywhere near. Right.
Yeah.
So shall we bring on the fabulous
let's do
Kate?
It. So
is
this is Kate Arthur. Yeah, Kate Arthur joining now.
Andy, do you know Kate? She's fabulous. I love Kate. Kate Arthur is here. Oh, it's Kate!
Hey! Hi!
Hello, my friend. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
It's so good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
How's your beautiful family?
They're good. We're good.
Well,
yeah.
Send my love to Rebecca and Tom, Andy. It's a pleasure to introduce you to my friend Kate. And
hi, Kate.
Hi, guys.
We are talking about
love your pod.
I mean, we're thrilled that you're on it. Honestly, I'm so excited that we are, you know, sort of lurking in this mud, but the bright side of it is that we get to chat with you and we get to have Andy here. But the truth of the matter is that Tom and I were blocked by Alec Baldwin and we're not exactly sure why. We think we know why, but we don't know when. And it was not Hilaria. It didn't happen around the Hilaria stuff.
And the thing with it is it's opened up a suitcase of emotions where it's anger. Guilt.
We're going through
sadness.
All the stages of grief, and we know that you've been there for longer than we have, because if I'm not mistaken, you were blocked by him, what was it, 4 years ago?
No, 2013.
Wow.
So welcome, guys. Welcome, everyone. Do you think he found out somehow that you, that he's a recurring character on your podcast as an object of Mirth?
I don't think it was the recurring as much as it was that our like second highest rate or downloaded episode was just about him talking to Woody Allen. I think
yes.
that was like in the title. If I had to guess, I don't know if there's something on Twitter where you can tell exactly when you were blocked, but I imagine that it had to do with like that whole episode being about how ingratiating he was to Woody. You
know? Yeah, because I think about the things that I've said about him, and I've said his Trump impression's the worst, that it sounds like Bill Murray and Caddyshack. I've said that he's not.
It's sarcastic. It's a bad impression on purpose, right?
That is exactly. Oh, it's bad. It's meant to just upset Trump.
And
but
that they're the same
person. Awful.
You've also said, Tom, that they're kind of the same person.
They're literally just New York State garbage that.
Well, that's delightful. That's a delightful comparison.
Mm-hmm. I've said that he's mean and was mean to our friend Anthony Atamanuk, who was doing an impression and pretended that Anthony was some kind of weird stalker figure.
Even though he had met Anthony from years of Anthony being like background on 30 Rock and they were already like kind of friendly. And then Anthony had this like brilliant, hilarious Trump impression. And Alec Baldwin was kind of shitty to him on, what was it, like Fallon or something?
It was one of the talk shows. So just things like, so those are the things I know I've said about him. And, but he slammed the door in my face.
In aggregate, I bet those things are why he blocked you. But he puts a lot of effort into it, right? Like he had to like search out your Twitter handles.
That's exactly it. I don't think we were
you guys.
I don't think he was mentioned with us. I don't think there's a tweet that like combined the three of us in a like Twitter handle. Like I don't know, but you're right. It does seem like there's a little bit of sleuthing.
Sure.
Wait, they're all individual blocks. You got blocked, Julie, and Tom, you got blocked.
Yeah, I got blocked. Because Kate, Andy Kindler, He see, unlike Andy Kindler, who takes his blocks as a source of pride or success where he's like, I got blocked by William Shatner. I got blocked by
me too.
He got
blocked by Shatner too.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thick skinned. Everyone knows that.
No, exactly.
Nothing that bothers me.
Anybody who's seen Andy do 80 rounds of tweets.
He's the salt the earth guy.
Knows that it just rolls off his back.
It's not personal. That used to be my catchphrase.
But I'm not made of the tough stuff that Andy Kindler's made of. I take it. It hits me in my heart. And that's what I'm here for.
And we imagine that, like, answers. The hilarious stuff, which, by the way, I must say, without being mean, that really did feel like my first ever Christmas. I felt like, oh, there is a, as she would say, Papa Noel. There is a Papa Noel. Gracias.
Nothing feels better than when you're in that zone of total judgment. I just
enjoyed it. There was no malice. I just said, I just had my popcorn. I said, this is a lot of fun. I imagine he went on a blocking spree. And the first thing I saw with that hilarious, or the first thing I thought was, you know, this is going to make Alec Baldwin very angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't take much.
Tell us your story of how it happened to you, Kate.
So I wrote an essay years ago about going to the Academy Awards with my mom after my father died. My father co-wrote All That Jazz and produced it, but he died when the movie started production. And, you know, it was an essay that lots of people read and
I love that movie, by the way. Sorry.
Look at the poster behind me, my friend.
Oh, such a great
movie. Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's the one that came out right after the Oscar nomination.
I saw it in the theater. Saw it in the theater, ladies and gentlemen.
So
you wrote this like beautiful personal essay that was, you know, had marbled with experience. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Kate is a New York Times contributor, a Daily Beast editor at large, Variety, I believe now. Are you at Variety or?
I'm the editor at large at Variety. Yep. That is my current, but this was when I was at BuzzFeed.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Kate. Variety is an industry magazine. I know
what?
It's for.
Oh, I thought that's, isn't it Billboard?
No, it talks about show business. So
let me write that down.
I apologize, Kate. Please continue.
Are there any more of those kind of, what do you call those?
We call them industry hot sheets.
So anyway, he followed me after I wrote that piece. And, you know, it's nice when a famous person follows you. And you know, whatever. And then he called that photographer a faggot. And so I was like, oh, Alec Baldwin follows me. I can DM him and see if he wants to.
This is the greatest thing ever.
So, cause he famously he's had a publicist on and off. But he often hates that person and fires him. And so
he has a publicist on and off. I'm picturing that lawyer who was sitting next to that idiot with the daddy cap.
Oh, my God. Totally.
I'm picturing totally. That like, is like Alec Baldwin.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That publicist is like that woman.
Yeah.
Is she not defending her anymore? Did she drop her?
If she did not drop her, I'm going to reach out as a fellow human and say, I care about you.
Yeah.
You have to go.
Let's perform a citizen's arrest on that lawyer.
Yes.
So she doesn't have to deal with that.
She's like blinking help at the camera. Yeah. But anyway, so Alec Baldwin has gone through publicists the way Hilaria has gone. And by the way, I've been pregnant as many times as Hilaria. Have I gone through with it? No. It's called, don't get off at every exit if you're going to get to your destiny. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You're a busy person who has priorities.
So anyway, so you say, I'm going to DM
Mr. Baldwin and asked, do you have a comment about
calling out to the publicist first and was like, and he was like, I'm off with him right now. And I was like, wise move. Mm-hmm. And so then I DM'd Alec Baldwin and I said, very politely in a kind of reportorial way, like, hi, Mr. Baldwin. I'm just, I'm a reporter at BuzzFeed. I just wanted to reach out about you calling that paparazzo a faggot. And the tragic thing about the story is that DMs from a blocked person are lost. So I believe he sent me something horribly abusive back, but it's gone. I can't, you know, as soon as he blocked me, I couldn't access it anymore. So I know when I got blocked. Yes, it was 2013. That was the incident that also lost him his MSNBC talk show. So the two tragedies, me DMing him and him.
Nice going, Kate. Way to go. That was my favorite show.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was the show that he hosted from an old-timey looking coffee shop.
Brett, any updates from Twitter? Because Kate... Brett has started a Twitter account today. He has joined Twitter a mere hours ago in an attempt to see if he can get blocked by Alec Baldwin.
Pretty exciting. They have to admit, it's pretty exciting.
So the first tweet is kind of friendly.
Yeah, I have not been blocked yet, but to be fair, we did start out pretty friendly here. So do you want to amp it up a little bit now or kind of raise the temperature on this?
Do you have any advice on where to like go from here? Because we're just kind of being a little too friendly and maybe a little... you know, not so classy asking about money, but
the last thing I tweeted was, what was your favorite thing doing those Mission Impossible movies?
Oh, not about money. We didn't ask him about how much he makes, right?
Well, what if you just say, I think one route that could be taken now would be for you to be slightly impatient that you haven't gotten an answer.
Yeah.
I love that. That would be good. What am I? I'm sorry. I'm not
still waiting for that answer.
Still waiting for an answer to my Mission Impossible question. Big fan, period. Big fan.
Big fan.
Exclamation point, I think.
Big exclamation fan. Point. You got to do the exclamation point.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, cool.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And
we're laying the trap right now, folks. We are laying the bait. The cheese is inside.
And Kate, have you heard in your history as a journalist any... stronger excuse for calling someone the F word as no, you misheard me. I called him a fathead.
Oh, that's not what he said.
That is
fathead,
okay?
Yes.
Please back me up on this.
He said it was audio evidence. Cause remember that was the one that was recorded also, which is why he couldn't deny it fully, but he did say audio evidence says I said fathead because he's like terrible. A cartoon character from the 1930s.
Yeah, he's a Bazooka Joe comic all of a sudden.
He's never said fathead. No one has ever said.
He's a Dick Tracy villain. Hey, prune face.
Fathead.
I say that's a lie. He was lying to you.
That's very nasty of you to say.
I say he's a liar.
Kate, can we just briefly talk about Hilaria for a moment?
Oh, my God. Momento. That's all I want to talk about. Where were you? That no one wants to talk about it.
I want to talk about it with you. Where were you when you realized that she was from Boston? Had you known that this was let me put it this way. What did you know about Hilaria before Christmas 2020?
I knew that she was a yogi influencer.
Yes.
I knew that she had 18 children with Alec Baldwin, who are all under six. And I did think she was, the irony of all of this is that someone from Spain is still white. Like, you're not Latina. Like, Antonio Banderas, when he was nominated for the Oscar last year, he was not a person of color because he's from Spain. So, so all of the like Latina stuff, was confusing to me, but I did think she had been born in Spain.
Right.
So,
right.
Yes. And so, oh my God, what a gift. I mean, when I saw that Twitter thread, the original Twitter thread,
the Lenny Briscoe.
Yes.
Because I like that Lenny Briscoe put it in terms of this is a grift. Because yes. And to me, I think that's sort of complimentary to Hilaria because it puts her in the, you know, in the driver's seat. Like she's this is a successful con.
Totally. Totally. I mean, when the con is that you're married to Alec Baldwin, the driver's seat gets a little, you know.
Well, it's a minivan because there's a lot of kids in the back.
That was all I knew. And I hadn't noticed, I don't follow her on Instagram, so I hadn't seen the accent coming and going. Now I regret that. I wish I did. and then I did some Googling and I saw that people have been wondering about this for years.
I love this.
But honestly, I mean, everyone who was like, you know, she's canceled, like this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, she should be in Joe Biden's cabinet. We should not cancel this woman. Mm-hmm. She's given us, this has been the shittiest year. She has given us the greatest gift. Like, yes. I want to elevate her to, like, you know.
Sainthood. Like, sainthood.
What a fun, like, there's nothing better than a really fun celebrity scandal where, I mean, I'm sure she is devastated. But that aside, no one's really heard. It's just a fun, like detective-y kind of, it has something for everyone, you know?
It's like a children's spinoff of Rachel Dolezal. Like Rachel Dolezal was like the Wire or whatever. This is like Inspector Gadget.
Yes, yes.
I met Alec Baldwin. I did the Match game and I found him so charming and so friendly and so engaging. And it was one of those things where I knew everything about him, but then going in, I was like, I like him. I really, which is why getting blocked really hurt.
Well, how does the panel feel about Jack Donaghy? Because I consider him to be one of the great comic characters.
I love 30 Rock. I really love that show. And I think he's great. I think he's really talented. State in Maine was on the other day.
What a great movie.
Underrated, fabulous movie. He's so great in it.
Pre-David Mamet's collapse.
I love that movie. And I'm usually not like out. Like I can still enjoy an Alec Baldwin performance.
That's what I was going to ask you, Julia. I always imagined he would be the most charming person in the world.
He was so charming and funny, and he is funny. Well, and then I was also saying, Kate, I was watching the Fran Lebowitz thing came out, and I'm obsessed with her. And he interviews her in a couple of these episodes, and it's not like he's the smartest guy in the world, but for an actor, like he's, you know, he's bright enough to like have it, he didn't make a fool of himself, and so there is part of me that like. You know, I don't want to say wants to like him, but when I found out I was blocked, I'm going to admit it stung a little bit. And that's why we're airing this all out together. We're working through it.
Yeah. Have any other celebrities blocked you?
Polly Perrette.
Really? Oh my God, of course. Rightly so. Yes, no, rightly so.
But I
remember those days. Oh, yes. I remember those days from How Was Your Week?
And I get, and every once in a while, a friend who is kind enough to send me a screenshot of whatever craziness she's going off on, I always appreciate it. And it always, it always exceeds my expectations.
I've been blocked by a few people. I've been blocked by Batman blocked me.
Adam West?
Didn't like, I said he was maybe a little too rough with some of the criminals.
Oh, he's talking about actual Batman.
And that he was, where's the line between good guy and bad guy? He didn't like that.
Well, you were also you revealed him as Bruce Wayne the way Lenny Briscoe revealed Hilaria as Hillary from Boston.
Yeah.
He didn't like that.
Yeah. He really didn't like that. That's pretty much it for me. Just Alec Baldwin and Batman. Brett? Can we get a Twitter check-in?
Yeah, still have not been blocked.
I mean, when do we just go nuclear? When do we go nuclear and just call him a selfish little pig?
But has he tweeted? Like, do we know?
Good point. Yeah, let's see when he was online last.
Yeah,
15 minutes. Yeah. Okay, all right,
he's on. He's on.
How about still waiting?
What is the since I'm blocked? I can. What does HABF stand for?
I think it's like the Alec Baldwin Foundation.
It's Hilaria and Alec Baldwin Foundation.
Oh,
Hilaria and Alec.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That really hit home, didn't it, Kate?
Oh my God.
Oh, Ricky Gervais is in the thing. Oh, he hasn't blocked me, but
how is that possible that he hasn't blocked you, Andy?
Then that means Ricky Gervais has blocked nobody.
He claims he doesn't even know doesn't even know anything about what I'm tweeting, but he knows every time someone tweets about him, Gervais.
All right, here we go. Let's just do a quickie. Still waiting.
How about sorry I'm not Dick Robinson or something like that?
Yeah, like.
Or what if it's like something you shouldn't mention, but the right side of like, I just want to let you know that like, I don't think your wife did anything wrong.
backhanded.
Should I link it to the previous, like, you know, if it helps move this along any faster, I don't.
Yeah, let's like that. Exactly. As if he's withholding.
Yeah. I love when you assume the sale is going to happen with someone. This helps it move it along a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know that I don't think your wife did anything wrong.
This could be a block right now coming up.
Should we say beautiful wife or that's creepy? No, don't say
no,
that.
No, say, say.
yes, I'm okay, beautiful. Or what is
no,
the
no, no, don't do that.
Like, no,
don't
do that. So, hey, Alec Baldwin, if it helps move this Mission Impossible thing along faster, I just wanted to let you know that I don't think your wife did anything wrong.
I would just say like your answer to my Mission Impossible question faster. Mm-hmm. Like,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Or relationship.
If it helps get an answer.
Get an answer to my Mission Impossible question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea that a person would really be thinking.
And now just put
you
on
want that answer.
Especially since I kind of forgot that he's in those movies.
I didn't know that he was in the movies at all.
Don't hit tweet yet, Brett. Don't hit tweet yet.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. I got
what were you going to have?
No.
Quick fire off a P.S. P.S. Loved you in... also loved you in... And what should be a good one that...
What are you trying to say?
Just what's like, another movie?
Are you
Alec
trying to
Baldwin
humiliate him, or are you trying to give him a real compliment?
Yeah.
Well, then say State in Maine. Say State in Maine.
Say State in Maine. Any chance of a sequel?
That's good.
David Mamet.
Now, right. But answer my Mission Impossible question first.
Now.
There you go. Thank you.
There we go. All right. And,
something's going to happen.
Nothing yet.
Should we bring in all these people?
Yeah.
Great. So these are four listeners who also have been blocked by Alec Baldwin. I'm bringing them on now.
This is our support group. This is Baldwin Anonymous.
People, you still look in pain.
They are. Everyone look. Yeah, they are carrying a certain amount of anguish.
Darkness.
You can see. These are like damned souls. They have all been condemned.
We
on
are
social media.
We are thrilled to welcome four new guests onto the show, in addition to our lovely Kate and Andy. Welcome to Double Threat, and thank you guys so much for joining us for our first ever support group meeting of those who were blocked by Baldwin.
Yeah, now Brett, do you want to introduce everybody, please?
Yeah. Actually, if you guys want to go around tell us your first name and where you're from, and tell us, how you got blocked by Alec Baldwin, if you know, and we'll start with there. So, Michael, let's start with you.
Hey, everybody. I am Michael from Athens, Georgia. I was blocked by Alec Baldwin in 2015. He was tweeting a lot about making a murderer, and I replied to him a couple times and asked if he was Billy Baldwin's son. And I think it maybe rubbed him the wrong way. Happy to be here.
So that did it. What was your fan? What was your fandom level like for him? Actually,
I was thinking about that this morning, and it's probably higher than I would like to admit or had realized.
I'm in the same place.
Yeah, I listened to his podcast, and I was a big 30 Rock fan, and I watched him on Jerry Seinfeld's show, and I was like, "Wow, this guy's a real good guy," I guess. But thinking about it this morning, I think he got his wires crossed between thinking he was smart and thinking he was intense.
There you go. That's
where I stand on him now.
Well, that's a great story, Michael. And now, who do we have next? Brant?
Meredith, how about you go next?
Hi, I'm Meredith, and I'm from Portland, Maine. And I would love to tell you and have a great story about why I got blocked by Alec fucking Baldwin, but I have no idea. I just discovered it by accident. But every time I see him now, that's exactly what I say. Alec fucking Baldwin, why did you do that?
You don't have the foggiest idea. You never
did. I don't remember
ever tweeting at him or saying anything about him on Twitter.
We have the same politics. I like him in projects. Like, I can't even imagine what I would have done. I never shit on his wife until recently. But,
Brett, you know, I think it's time to go back into your Twitter and ask Alec Baldwin, why did you block? Meredith, do you mind if we put your... I think Brett needs, because Brett started a Twitter account just to interact with Baldwin and hopefully get blocked. But I do think we deserve answers.
Well,
so if you could,
it
just
doesn't take much.
First, let's make sure you're not blocked by him. Please click on.
Let's look.
Not blocked yet.
Okay.
You can.
Not blocked yet.
I would like it respectfully, Brett, if you could fire off a quick. Yep. Still waiting.
If he wants to DM you, that would be fine.
Andy, are you blocked by Alec Baldwin?
No, I haven't checked. I haven't checked that one.
Check right now, because maybe it would be better if it came from Andy and not Brant to say, why did you block Meredith?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why did you block Julie?
No. Don't go there yet. First of all, we all know.
Don't go there.
Andy, are you blocked by Baldwin? BBB?
Which one now?
BBB?
No. Is it H-A-B-F?
Yes. Okay, yes. Great. No. Andy, first of all, I'm shocked. Second of all, please tweet at him. Hi, Mr. Baldwin. Just curious why you blocked my friend.
Do I do a dot before it?
I don't care.
Of course you want everybody to see this.
I want everybody.
And then Meredith, what's your username again?
We can
at Mayor with
Alec Baldwin sucks. Oh, it's at Alec Baldwin sucks.
So tell me what I'm saying. Why did you? Yeah. Why?
Oh, don't put a dot before it, Andy.
No, that's ridiculous, right?
That's ridiculous.
Oh, yes. How about dear Alec Baldwin? Dear.
Yes. Why did I just, Alec I'm just Baldwin. Curious why you blocked my friend at Mare, M-E-R-E.
Yep.
All right. Let's see how this goes. Maybe he'll respond to a verified, the old Kindler green check mark. Are you verified, Andy?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
Andy's got a green check mark because he likes that sticky icky.
Tom has been doing this bit, fellas and ladies, since you've joined us. Tom has been doing a bit.
420.
He says Andy likes to smoke pot.
Yeah, it's Brett. A bit. That bit.
Only because I like to smoke pot.
Only because it's the first thing Andy said when he came on is like, I smoke so much pot.
Oh, you don't even know. Brett. I live in California. I can get all Brett. I want.
Brett, who's our next participant in this support group?
Christopher, why don't you tell us why you were blocked by Alec Baldwin?
Hi, I'm Christopher from Portland, Oregon.
Oh!
And I got blocked 2018 because I replied. He was tweeting about how he didn't believe Dylan Farrow, saying like... he was referencing To Kill a Mockingbird and saying like, oh, it's all based on emotion. Like, and I, for one, am not convinced. And I replied like, nobody cares what you need, you giant baby. And I got
that
blocked.
That sounds
so
reasonable.
Fast.
That sounds like a nice, positive response.
I didn't even swear at him. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, it came down real quick.
Now, Julie, please notice in the background of Christopher
I've noticed. I've been looking.
That is Zola.
Yes.
Oh.
I am, no offense, Christopher, I have not been looking at your face.
No.
I'm very focused on this soulful.
Half the reason I said yes to this is so you could see my dog.
Oh,
so
this dog is perfect.
She's pretty great.
She's
yeah.
beautiful.
And Christopher is not so bad himself. He's a very talented comic book superstar.
And
not, yeah. I write him. I wouldn't say superstar.
He's appeared on The Best Show. And it, as a side note, you had your own exciting adventure that people know about. That you, right?
What, the living in a clown
hotel?
Oh,
you're the clown yeah. hotel. Oh, my God. Do you guys know about this? This is amazing. Oh, I love this. Chris stayed at a clown motel for, what is it, like a month or something?
30 days.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. This is a nightmare. Brett, would you mind pulling up that website, please? Because everyone needs to see this. It'll be a nice break from the horrors of Alec Baldwin to see the horrors of what Christopher has endured.
There it is.
So, Chris, oh my Christopher God. Or Chris?
Chris is fine.
Chris stayed in this nightmare. And he would call The Best Show Weekly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As a proof of life.
And yeah.
America's
your,
creepiest motel.
And how has your brain changed since this experience?
I don't get bored as easily. Because like it sounds fun and wacky, but like by day 9, you're like, oh, I just live in a dirtbag motel in a central Nevada town where there's nothing to do except drink and do meth.
This is worse than Circus Circus, I would say, right?
Yeah.
It's
no,
because
I stayed
it's
in Circus
different.
Circus before. This is, I would
Sandy,
say, circus
Sandy
circus
Hackett's before. Joke about Sandy Hackett was Buddy Hackett's son. His joke about Circus Circus was their buffet, all you can keep down for $3.95. Do you understand the joke there? All you can keep down. Down.
Welcome, Christopher. You're in a safe space, unlike that clown motel.
Thank you.
Who's our final
final listener who was blocked by Alec Baldwin, Seth. Please tell us your story.
Hey everybody. My name is Seth. I'm from the Twin Cities. And I just got recently blocked, apparently, in the last probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks, by Alec.
Welcome.
Hi. Oh, we had a meeting?
Hi, Seth.
And what did you do, Seth?
I had periodically been taking pot shots at him about stuff. You know, he would post a picture of him in the makeup chair at SNL. And I think I said, you know, forewarned is forearmed, you know. You know, reason to skip that. But I think that the final thing was he was defending Deborah Messing, who made some prison rape joke about Trump. And he was very over the top about, you know, what an advocate Deborah is and things like that. And I said, you know, yeah, but prison rape jokes are still lame and pathetic. And I think that's the last I was able to see him. So
yeah, wow. And what was your fandom like before that?
Well, it sounded like the first gentleman, you know, I would watch 30 Rock, and I knew that wasn't his writing, but he was funny in that. And I would listen to his podcast, especially I would always crack up when he'd do the commercials, because he would enunciate cheeseburger in one of those fresh cookings, like try the cheeseburger. So I always wanted to hear him say cheeseburger.
It sounds but like never... you were laughing at him, if I may.
Well,
I mean,
perhaps.
I feel like a common thread through everyone's opinion and experience is that it's like the guy's good.
We want to like him.
And he can be really funny and really personable and charming.
He's on the right side of things politically, and he's a New Yorker, and he seems to have a brain as you know, messed up as it is. There's people that are way less intelligent, certainly.
I have a problem with the fact that he's 1 second away from punching people in the face every minute. That's my, that to me, if I was his daughter, that would be a little off-putting. Mm-hmm. I'd see some PTSD.
Because where did you grow up, Andy Kindler?
Queens, New York.
Queens, New York.
Queens.
And you look at a Long Island guy like Alec Baldwin, and you saw them how as a Queens resident?
My opinion of Alec Baldwin was fantastic. I thought he was married to Kim. I loved him. I mean, there was no reason back then you didn't know about. Uh-huh. I don't say I loved him. But why would I have loved him? I don't think we knew he was that funny back in the old days.
Sure. Right? Now, any response from either of the Twitter accounts?
It's taking off, Mayor.
It is.
We have one retweet and 9 likes.
And Meredith, you have no idea.
I can't imagine what I would have said. I mean, I kind of assume he's an asshole, but I don't know why I would have tweeted him.
But what do you usually tweet about? Is there anything that even comes remotely close to something that's Alec Baldwin adjacent or anything?
Wow.
Is there anything you ever tweeted about, like Woody Allen or?
Oh, that might be.
Yeah, there you go.
See, this is why we do group. We do group for these moments of these aha moments.
That might have been it.
So, Brett, anything?
I got nothing yet. No, we might want to up the temperature here on this if we want to get blocked.
So, what
by
if
the end
you're
going?
What if we can still play within the confines of you being annoyed that he isn't responding to you by saying, "I bet if I, you know, were Woody Allen or something like related to being Woody Allen, then you would have responded to me by now."
Yeah,
Andy,
but you know, if he's not around, he doesn't look probably right.
That's yeah, I bet if I was a screening of Broadway Danny Rose, you would have responded to me by now.
And Andy, what would you think about tweeting again? Would you have it in you to tweet? And would you tweet something like
something about how great Meredith is? Maybe like just be like, because Andy plays like the sweet card.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
Andy's always the good cop on Twitter.
Oh yes, he's the white knight rolling in to save the day.
Yeah, and by good cop, I mean he's like the best at being a cop.
Yeah, he's really good at being a cop.
I said, I mean, she's a very nice person and she's saddened by
and
this.
And she doesn't, she's a very nice person. She's saddened and confused.
And confused.
Andy, I would like to get to a place where you would tweet at Alec Baldwin something along the lines of, if you were going to, any chance you'll be in one of these new Star Wars movies, maybe you could play Chewblocka.
Should I do that
in a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's sit on that.
Can we set a timer for 5 minutes? Let's I feel like we're cooking a couple different dishes on the burners, and I want to make sure we don't burn everything. You know.
No, I want to just. But when you can write a joke in the Andy Kindler voice, it's the greatest gift that has ever happened.
I've had that experience where I come up with Andy Kindler jokes.
Yes.
Well. Someone wrote in Spanish, maybe a joke about his wife, who was not from Spain. People are trying to help me out.
So does no one here, even Seth, even though it had been the last couple weeks, none of your blockings have necessarily been Hilaria related, right? Is that fair to say that we know? Yeah, Michael's.
I never addressed him directly with it, but I had posted the the theory that maybe he was behind some of the leaks because he wanted to get out from under 18 small children and still look good.
Seth is a shady lady.
He got me with that one.
Spilled the tea all over the Mad Hatter's lap. I mean, I was pretty sure around Christmas that he had a Hilaria search, what is that, like a search alert or something that he would like actively look for.
Well, that must have been a real treat for everybody to be around him at the holidays. His phone going big leak every 2 seconds as somebody writes the name of his wife on Twitter.
Well, the adopted name of his wife. Slightly altered name of his wife.
They're like singing on the first day of Christmas, my brother, like they're doing holidays celebrating, and then suddenly he's like, "Berling," he's like, "Hold on, I gotta block somebody." Berling, hold on, I gotta block somebody. we'll pick that song up in a second. I just got to block 30 people.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to spend the rest of the day getting into arguments with other people.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, you mean it's Saturday, Andy? Yeah, you mean that's exactly what's going to happen today?
It's a day that ends in Y.
What a weird way to spend your day, Andy.
How are you going to get used to that? Well, I think let's just all go around now and say what our least favorite thing about Alec Baldwin is and what our favorite thing about Alec Baldwin is and what we can all learn from this experience going forward. And then we'll you know, maybe wrap it up with one more tweet from Andy and one more tweet from Brett.
And if anybody wants to make an impassioned plea for Alec to unblock them, this is the place to do it. So who do we start with?
Michael, you want to go first? What your favorite thing about him is, what your least favorite thing about him is, and what you think you can learn from this experience or what we can learn from it.
I think my least favorite thing is how he leans into his voice, that he knows it's gruff and he knows it's deep and he really has made it a big part of his personality. I think my favorite thing is he taught me what to do if you call your daughter a thoughtless little pig. You know, he's blazing the trail for me there, I guess.
What do you do, by the way?
What do I do?
What does one do? You just pretend it didn't happen and move forward, or what?
I think, you know, it's easy to talk from the outside. I don't think anybody knows what they would truly do until they do it.
It's hard to put yourself in Alec Baldwin's shoes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Great.
So thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Meredith?
Let's see. My least favorite thing would be that he blocked me.
Sure.
I think it's
very personal.
Yeah, yes. I'm still pretty hostile. I'm still doing the Alex fucking Baldwin. My favorite thing, he's an excellent Stern Show guest.
Yes.
He's really good at that.
Yes.
So
yes.
I've enjoyed that, even though he has problems with me.
Mm-hmm. And what can we learn going forward?
What I can learn is just to go ahead and be a bitch, because if people are going to block you anyway, you might as well.
Yes.
You know, I'm just going to let loose now. I'm going for everyone.
I love that. I think that's a great lesson that Andy does not need to learn.
No.
No, I know how to up my game.
Do not learn that lesson, Andy.
Well, so I have a little bit. I think I'm getting better a little bit.
We'll get to your turn in a minute, Mr. Kindler.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not here now.
Chris?
My least favorite thing about him is the last 5 to 6 years. I don't know. Like, just there was a point where I really liked him, and then there's just like a switch flipped, and then like, I was just like, I don't like when he blocked me. The best part about it was I knew that he had read my tweet calling him a baby. So like there's satisfaction, because sometimes you yell at famous people and you get nothing except the thrill of it. But I knew he had seen it. Yeah. So that's probably my favorite thing about him, is that he really loves like Twitter. So he's on, like, he's just looking and like he's deeply invested. So you can hurt him if you want to.
Great.
And Seth?
I guess the least favorite is kind of what got me in trouble with him in the first place. It's the whole SNL and his Donald Trump terrible impression, and that he somehow puts himself as, you know, what was it, the "You're Welcome" that he had on stage, and that he thinks he's Mr. SNL and really, you know, responsible for all the good things that happened in November. And I'll learn the real dangers of pomposity from him. So that's something I can.
And what do you like, though? What's the thing you like? What was your favorite thing?
You know, when he had interesting people on his podcast, the way you guys took care of that Woody Allen one was, you know, right in my sweet spot. So, and he is funny when given good material.
There you go. Well, okay, that's nice. Now,
Kate?
I mean, besides Jack Donaghy, I actually have a very sweet story about him, which is that I worked at a bookstore after college, Shakespeare and Company on the Upper West Side. And it went out of business because a Barnes & Noble opened two blocks away. And there was like a period of time in between when the store announced it was closing, which was a big deal because it was such an Upper West Side institution, and when it did close. And he came in at one point and bought a ton of books and said, you know, my wife and I do a lot of charity work. And if you guys would ever want us to have a fundraiser for you, maybe we could do that. And it was so nice and didn't really square with his, you know, rage later. Also, Billy Baldwin and China Phillips used to come into the bookstore and buy books at Halloween to give out to kids who were trick-or-treating. And that was so sweet. But I would also picture the kids being like, what? No candy? Yeah. Fuck you, Billy Baldwin.
If I found out, if I found out a famous person could have bought those king size bars, but decided to buy books instead.
Exactly. And then my, I don't really have a least favorite thing. I feel like he's given me many gifts, but including Consider the Source recently. But I guess it's just that I feel like the word faggot is like right there with him at all times. Yeah. And like he really wants to say it. And if you scratch the surface, it's just right there. That's my least favorite.
Yep.
Andy?
I would say that my most favorite thing about him is that he's very funny. He's truly, even beyond the material that's written for him, you can tell he's funny. And even when he does Trump, like my least favorite thing about him, besides that, how horrible he is that like he doesn't even try with the Trump impression because he could do it better. And anybody knows how committed I am to characters. You know, when I'm in the middle of a bit, you got to almost shake me to get me out of the character.
Oh no, you're it's
Peter Sellers, it's Andy Kindler.
Daniel Day-Lewis. It's Daniel Day-Lewis, Andy Kindler. When they're on set and you refer to Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln, even though he's at the craft service table.
Jim Carrey is the best example because he would only respond as Andy Kaufman during the shooting.
Sure. Movie. Yes.
That's commitment.
I've heard that on the set of Everybody Loves Raymond, you only would be referred to as Andy.
Did I ever tell you, Tom, that I was in a comedy duo before I was a comedian on my own?
What was the duo?
It was named Andy and Bill.
Which one were you? There you go. It's not my joke, though. That's not my joke.
That is your joke.
No, it's not mine. It's Gary the Squirrel's joke.
Okay. And so, no, but the bullying, it makes, as a short man who got scared of being beaten up and doesn't enjoy physical, I hate that. That bullying thing is almost impossible to get past.
Mm-hmm.
And that he calls people fathead.
Charming.
Fathead.
Charming bullies. It's a thing.
My head's fat and I don't like it.
Brett, have you been blocked?
Let me check. Nope, have not been blocked yet.
Okay, I'm going to pitch all caps. Block me, fathead.
All right, here we go. The nuclear option.
Yeah. Let me... I think get rid of hey, just have it be at Alec Baldwin. Yeah. Block me, fathead, and then like a bunch of exclamation points.
There you go.
Great.
Beautiful.
Great.
All right. And there we go.
Oh, that is good.
Final check-in, Brett. Anything?
Yeah. Let me do a final check in here. Refresh.
He might just mute you.
No. Mute. Yeah, no, he has not blocked me yet. So
he's old school like that. He just still straight up blocks me. I mute.
Or he could. It could be Shabbos. He could be Shomer Shabbos.
Yeah. You don't roll on Shabbos. Maybe you don't block on Shabbos. I don't block on Shabbos.
That'd be hilarious new persona.
Like,
It would be like Ruchel.
Well, this is a good show. This was fun. I learned a lot. And I thank everybody for getting on board with us and helping us through this journey.
And happy new year and welcome back. And let's all take a step forward together as we forge a better path, I'd say.
Yes. And most importantly, follow us and rate us over at where, yes, of course.
We're on Parlor now. Go to our Parlor account. We're at parlor.thedonald.com. We have an account at the Donald.
We're over at the Donald. We're over at the Parlor, which is a really fun place. Mm-hmm. And rate and review us over at Parlor and let everybody know this is a fun show. And we'll be back next week with another episode. We got a good one for you. So get ready. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.